God is, he didn't say that we wasn't going to go through the storm and the rain. He didn't say that we wasn't going to have some heartache and pain. But what he's guaranteed us is that we will be safe in his arms. He didn't say that we wasn't going to never get sick. He didn't say that we weren't going to ever die a physical death. But if you believe in Jesus and have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you will be safe in his arms for the eternity of the eternity. He's worthy. He's worthy. Let's go ahead and praise him. We can sing it. Blessed Savior. Oh, he's worthy. Come on, y'all. Come on. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit, to the angel of the house. God is worthy to be praised. Amen. Let's give God a round of praise on today. Come and go with me to the gospel as recorded by Saint John, a very, very familiar passage. St. John 6, and we'll do the 5th through the 11th verse. St. John 6, 5 through 11. If you have it, say amen. Amen. And there you'll find these words. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Verse 8 says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. I want you to grab somebody by the hand, look them right in the eye, and repeat after me, smile. When a situation meets the Savior, grab somebody else and say to them again, when a situation meets the Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for what has transpired thus far. Lord, we adore you. We acknowledge you as the only true and living God. God, forgive us of our sins, thought and manifested. Lord, thank you for the blood that blots out of our transgressions. Thank you for the blood that presents us faultless. Thank you for the blood that keeps us from falling. Thank you for the blood that makes us whiter than snow. Now, God, I ask you right now that I decrease, that you may increase. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, we want to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for it belongs to you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And the church said, amen. 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 You may be seated in his presence. Amen. Everybody who's been to church once or twice knows a little bit about the two fish and the five loaves. Amen. 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 And you can find this in two other gospels, the 14th chapter of Matthew, about the 13th verse. And you can also find it in Dr. Luke, where he wrote in chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. This is a story, an account, if you will, of Jesus doing his ministry, moving about, healing the sick, and witnessing and telling people about the goodness of God. He was being about his Father's business. This is a situation that has multiple situations in it. Amen? Amen. I mean, a lot of our situations that we're in, they're just not one-dimensional. They have several avenues and several things going on within one situation. Amen? Amen. Amen. Sometimes when you're going through, that old saying that when it rains, it pours. Amen, amen. You know, if your check is short or you miss some days of work, that's more than just one situation. You can have several bills not being paid. You could be missing some meals. You need gas in your car. So a lot of times we have several levels of situations in one situation. Amen, amen. This situation here, this account includes some doubt, some discouragement, some hunger, some lack of compassion. We have situations in our own lives right now, and they seem that they will be impossible to get out of. Have any of us been in situations when it looked like we just were not going to have enough of whatever we thought that we needed? Have we ever looked at something and thought that this will not cut it? We've ever said to ourselves, there's no way that this will ever work. Maybe I'm the only one. Have you ever felt like you were incompetent or inept to complete a task? Like, I just can't do this anymore. Or there are times where you feel incomplete or lacking. Or there are times where you're stuck in confusion or a state of complaining or just carelessness. You just don't care anymore. Has anybody in here ever wanted to give up or throw in the towel? Has Satan ever convinced anybody in here that you will be defeated or that you have been defeated? Has Satan told you that you won't be healed? He has some of us convinced at times in our lives that we will die. That you don't have enough to do whatever you need to do. He's convinced some of us that we can't do whatever it is that we're trying to do. Come on in here. Come on, I'm not the only one. Have you ever laid down at night and sleep never came? Just tears and worry, trepidation and whining. Have you ever not been able to eat because you're so worried about the outcome? It consumes us because we're looking at our situations And that's our main focus. That's all that we can think about. This story here will paint a picture of how Jesus deals with situations when they come his way. We all know that Jesus ran into a lot of situations while he was on earth. And every time a situation came across his path, he took care of it. And he set the blueprint for how we need to be dealing with situations in our lives. I'm going right into the first point. How the Savior sees the situation. See, we have to learn to see things from a different point of view. A lot of times when things get bad for us, we immediately expect the worst. Okay, so when we see trouble, here goes some of the reactions that some of us fall into. And I got some visuals up here, and I want y'all to take a look at them, because sometimes when we fall into diverse temptation situations, we just be crying. We act as if we have no hope. And then you see the little man, the little guy here, he's in a bed of tears. Have you ever cried so much that your pillow is wet with tears? You ever cried so much? And I know we laughed at this brother right here when we seen him on TV, but he didn't even know what to do. He was so lost and out of his mind from whatever emotions was running through his body that he didn't even have time to evaluate the positivity or the outcome or how it could work in his favor. He just was immediately overcome with trepidation and discouragement. And then I got another one, and I had to do it. But LeBron, when he had a rough finals, and I'm sure that during that moment, he was just distraught and he just couldn't keep the tears, and he just had a moment where all he could focus on was that moment right there. And then some of us are just, we just drama. We just, when we think everything is over, we just over dramatic. Everything is to the 100th power. We exaggerate everything, but we think that it's over. And that's how we are looking at our situations, and we're accepting defeat as soon as we get into a tough spot. But how does Jesus see the situation? John 6:5-6 says, "Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do." Now Matthew and Luke tell us that the disciples, check this out, we said this story had a little lack of compassion in it. Matthew and Luke tell us that the disciples told Jesus, "Send these people away. They tired, they hungry, it's getting late. They need to go find something to eat. It's not our job to feed them. They need to go and get them something to eat." If you go back to Matthew and Luke, you will see where Jesus said, "You feed them. They don't need to go anywhere." Now, it could be a combination of lack of compassion and the fact that they're just looking at their problem with a pessimistic point of view. In John, Jesus tested Philip and asked him, "Well, how should we feed them?" Even though he already knew the answer. Because he had been with them long enough to know that Jesus was going to meet the needs of the people that he was serving. Now, if I say that we're going to feed them and I'm Jesus, then that's it. That's it. What do you want me to do, Lord? What should I do next? That should have been the following question. But instead, this is what Philip said. Philip said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. So even if we had 200 denarii, even if we had that much money and we went to go buy that much bread, that wouldn't even be enough for the 5,000 to get an appetizer. So he's immediately saying that nothing makes sense to me. We are in a defeated situation. You're asking me to do something that's impossible. So he took an apparent impossible situation and met it
with an earthly carnal resolution.
He said, well, 200 denarii won't feed all these people. They won't even all get to taste it.
Jesus had other plans. And then if we go on to John 6, 8 through 9, it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Now, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. All they seen was this little boy. I imagine about 8 or 9 years old. And he had 2 little pieces of, I'll just say catfish, because everybody in here like catfish. But he had 2 little pieces of fish and 5 little barley loaves of bread. And they were yet to comprehend that with God, all things are possible. It still seems impossible to feed 5,000 people with 2 pieces of Mad Jacks and 5 Sara Lee loaves. It seems impossible that we still don't have enough money and we don't have enough bread. I really don't see the point in why we even bringing up this little basket. Jesus is able to see things in us that nobody else can see. I don't care how you see me. Jesus can see inside of me and see the potential in me that is not apparent to the naked eye. See, that should have made somebody happy in here. People in here trying to discourage people around your town, around the city, your family members, your friends will try to tell you what you can't do. But the Bible tells me that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Jesus sees things in the spiritual eye, and he knows that he can do anything but fail. They forgot that Jesus was getting ready to meet this situation. They were looking at things with their own ability and forgot that they were dealing with the Son of God. Matthew 9, 23 through 24. Listen to how Jesus sees this situation. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. Now, the Bible tells us that the girl was dead. But Jesus didn't see the girl as being dead because he knew that he was God in the flesh. Amen. Jesus knew that what he was going to do, the same way that he knew what he was going to do with the 2 pieces of catfish and the 5 pieces of Sara Lee bread. He knew what was going to happen. So he said, hey, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. But the Bible tells us that this little girl was dead. But Jesus was able to see what the situation was going to turn into because he was the one that was going to do it. He was in control. What are we saying? What am I saying? If I can see the situation like Jesus can see the situation, it's not that I can fix it, but I have to have faith that Jesus will take care of my situation. How Jesus sees the situation. And we're going to go on to the next point. What the Savior says to the situation. How are we talking to our problems? How are we speaking to our situations? What are we doing? Now, after they said, well, there's a little boy around here with 2 fish and 5 loaves. But what's that going to do among so many? Jesus just got tired of talking to him. His next response was, make the people sit down. Okay, y'all don't get it. Make them sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number of about 5,000. So Jesus started giving instruction and speaking to the situation. The situation here is the lack of doubt. Now, the overall situation is that we have 5,000 people who need to eat, and we don't have a lot of food. But now within that situation, the disciples, the men of God, are lacking faith and lacking trust in Jesus to fix the situation. So now we have a whole separate situation. So the Lord has spoken to the situation and said, y'all, make the people sit down. Just watch and learn. When daddy would get tired of me trying to figure things out and I couldn't figure it out, he would take the tool and just do it himself because he got tired of trying to show me. I wasn't paying attention. So after all this time of walking with Jesus, they still didn't understand that Jesus had been healing the sick and opening eyes. He had been doing all these things, and they still didn't think that Jesus was capable of feeding 5,000 people. So Jesus said, make everybody sit down. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to just keep showing y'all that I am who I am. Okay, let me give you some supporting facts to that. John 8:7 says, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up. And look, and he said to them, he's speaking to the situation again, he who is without sin among you, let him throw at her first. So Jesus spoke to the situation. They were trying to catch Jesus up. So he kind of acted like he didn't hear him. So he kind of started drawing down in the sand, and he didn't really speak to him because they said, well, in the law, you know, this is a woman who's committing adultery. She needs to be stoned. And you know, Jesus is the Son of God, so he knows everything. So instead of falling into that trap, he just said, I tell you what, whoever is perfect, whoever has never sinned, whoever's without sin, y'all go ahead and kick the party off. Go ahead and get her going. The Bible says one by one, as Jesus spoke to the situation, they started to dissipate. Okay? Now, he spoke to them because they knew that they were in no spot to stone her because they was just as messed up as she was. Amen? Amen. You are no better than the person you're sitting next to. Amen? So basically, you know, so how do we speak to that situation? She said, and so Jesus said, nobody condemned you? So now we're going to speak to a different situation. The situation. See, and we talked about this downstairs. This is a side note. We live in an age now where we leave them alone. Don't bother them. It's okay. They can shack up. You can be homosexual. You can cheat on your spouse. You can cheat on your tax. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. No, that's not okay. Now, we're not to love sin. We're to love everybody. We love the sinner, amen, but we are not to love sin. We are not to endorse things that God despises, amen, amen. I don't care how long you grew up, how long you known them. I don't care if you birthed them out. If they not living right, you owe it to them to tell them what God loves. Somebody say, well, why you say that? Somebody say, why? Because the Bible says that Jesus, she said, nobody condemned me, Lord, and Jesus said to her, neither do I. I don't condemn you either. But check this out. Go and sin no more. That's why. I don't have to agree with your lifestyle. That don't mean I don't love you, but you're not living right. Amen? Amen. And I'm not, none of us are perfect, but we are to repent and turn away from our wicked ways. Amen? Amen. So that's what the Savior says to the situation. Now, when it comes to our situation, Satan is trying to discourage us and make us believe that we're defeated. He's trying to make us believe that our situation has defeated us. So what do I say to that? I say, no way. My Father in heaven watches over me. I serve a God that neither sleeps nor slumbers. Okay, I don't have to let my situation dictate my emotion. I don't have to let my situation control my day-to-day activity. I serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above more than I can ask or think. I do not have to let my situation control me. I can speak to that situation and say, Satan, get thee behind me. In the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. I can speak to my situation with the authority given to me by Jesus Christ. There's not always somebody around that can pray for me. Sometimes I have to be able to pray and encourage myself. I always wait for somebody. I get voicemails all day, every day. If I was waiting on somebody to answer the phone and pray for me, I'd be dead. So sometimes I got to say, in the name of Jesus, I need you to heal me. In the name of Jesus, touch the doctor. In the name of Jesus, I need this. In the name of Jesus, I need thee. I can pray and encourage myself. We have to learn to speak to our situations with the authority given to us by Jesus the Christ.
My final point. When the Savior touches, oh my God, when the Savior touches the situation, listen to this. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. Now, I'm no mathematician, but I know that two pieces of fish and five loaves, I don't care how many little fragments and pieces you make, you're not feeding 5,000 people. Amen? Amen. You're not feeding 5,000 people. If I touch it, I'm not feeding 5,000 people. But Jesus, when he touches things, he becomes the master of multiplication and addition, and he can take two pieces of fish and five loaves and feed 5,000 people as soon as he touches the situation. Well, how do I know that? Well, 12 tells me, so when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. The fragments. Therefore, listen to this, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Now that we got to go back up to that right quick. Listen, it said that they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments. They had some leftovers, some doggy bags. Amen. Y'all following me? You know, they had a box. You know, you go out to eat, you order too much. I need a box. 12 baskets with the fragments. Does it say of the multiplication that Jesus had done? Don't say that, does it? It said the fragments of the five barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Now, it didn't say a fragment of the sum total of the multiplication. It said a fragment of the five loaves. Why did the Bible keep that there? Because Jesus wants us to understand that don't forget where I brought you from, okay? Don't forget where I delivered you out of. I want you to remember that you started in a two fish, five loaves situation, and now you're able to plant and feed over 5,000 people because I touched you. We learned over the week that how can a tear of wheat produce fruit unless it falls to the ground and it has to die? We have to surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. And we're getting ready to close. The Bible says the little girl who was dead, okay, she was dead. He went in and he cleared the room. And he grabbed her by the hand. And she got up when the Lord touched her. There was a dead situation. And when that situation touched Jesus, life defeated death. So Jesus can touch a situation and bring it back to life. There are situations that we've given up hope on. Children that we've given up hope on. There's relationships and marriages that we've given up hope on. And if it be God's will, if you just let him touch it, he'll restore it. He'll bring it back to life. Joe, I'm almost done. And I know you can't believe it, Gerard, but I really am almost done. I'm reminded that when Jesus was on his way to that situation, he was on his way to the situation where the ruler's daughter had died. He was trying to get there. And on his way to that situation, there was another situation that he encountered along the way. There was a woman who had been in a different situation for 12 years. And she had tried everything to be made whole, to be healed. She had an issue of blood.
I didn't know until I studied that Jesus was on his way to handle this situation when he ran into this situation. And she was dealing with her own situation. There's just situations all around us. But she tried everything. And she didn't even have to touch Jesus. The Bible says that she just reached out and fought through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And then the Bible says that after she did that, Jesus spoke to the situation and said, "Daughter, it was your faith that made you whole. Now go on and be well." And it says later on that that woman was made whole that day because she touched the Savior. One touch of Jesus will change everything. Jesus spoke to the situation and he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." I'm almost done. I'm reminded of Saul. He was the epitome of two fish in a five loaf situation. He was spiritually dead. He was bearing no fruit. He was persecuting Christians. He was killing them every chance he could. But that situation had an encounter with the Savior on the road to Damascus. Come on, y'all. We about to wrap it up. We about to go home today. But listen, but the situation said, he said to the situation, "Saul, Saul, why doest thou persecute me?" He's speaking directly to the situation. Now, Jesus seen the Paul in Saul. Hold on now. Hold on now. He's in a two fish, five loaves situation. He's spiritually worthless, spiritually dead, and Jesus could see the Paul in Saul. Just like Jesus seen the 5,000 fish and 5,000 pieces of bread plus to feed the 5,000 people in the two fish and five loaves basket. Jesus seen the Saul in Paul. Jesus seen potential. People seen anger. People seeing violence. People seeing a murderer. People seeing somebody to fear in Saul. But Jesus seeing the apostle. Jesus seeing the most prolific author in the New Testament. Jesus seeing somebody that was going to plant churches all over the world. Jesus seeing somebody that was going to spread the good news of Jesus the Christ. Jesus said that you just need one touch from me, and I'm going to make you bear much fruit. Yeah, Jesus was able to change Saul from Paul just because the situation had an encounter with the Savior. I'm trying to tell somebody that I don't care what your situation is. If you just give it to Jesus, he'll turn that thing around. If you just give it to Jesus, he'll make you better than what you were before. I'm trying to tell you, you just need one touch from the Master and he'll make everything all right. I'm reminded of Calvary, and I'm reminded that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there was all type of situations going on there. There were situations with people selling Jesus out. There was situations with tempers in there, and Peter got mad when they tried to get Jesus, and Peter cut off the guard's ear. And then Jesus spoke to the situation and said, "If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword." And then Jesus touched the situation and he put the ear back on the man's face. And he fixed all that with just one touch. Let me tell you about the Savior. And then he went on and he was beat all night long from judgment hall to judgment hall. It didn't make any sense. And he didn't want to do it. He said, "Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass away from me. Not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus, he marched up Golgotha's hill for you and for me. He marched up with the cross on his back for you and for me. And they pierced nails through his hands. And they pierced nails through his feet. The Bible says they put a crown of thorn on his head. The Bible says that "I thirst" is what he said. And he took on sin for you and for me. The Bible says that between the sixth and the ninth hour, that he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. The Bible says that they buried him in old man Joseph's new tomb. The Bible says that he laid there all night Friday night. There's a situation brewing, y'all. There's a situation called death brewing. There's a situation called hell brewing. But in the grave, early Sunday morning, Jesus got up with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. And that situation met the Savior. And the Bible says, oh death, where is your sting? Oh hell, where is your victory? I have a victory because Jesus, it just took one touch. And now I ain't got to worry about going to hell. I ain't got to worry about death no more because I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. I don't care what your situation looks like. I don't care how grim and bleak it appears to be. I don't care if your account is in the red. The Bible says that a cattle of 1,000 hills are his. When you feel like you can't go anymore, the Bible says that I can do, not some things, not a few things, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. When my spouse ain't acting right, the Bible says, let my request be known. When I can't find my way, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When the doctor gives you bad news, the Bible says that Jesus healed the sick. The Bible says that he made the blind see. The Bible says that he raised the dead. The Bible says that he made barren rooms fertile. The Bible says that God is able. And he ain't gonna just touch it and make it a little bit. The Bible says that he's Jehovah Jireh. The Bible says that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you don't have room enough to receive. The Bible says that he'll give it back to you pressed down, shaken up, and running over. If he can feed 5,000 off 2 fish and 5 loaves, then my God can do anything. I don't have to worry about nothing. As long as my situation meets my Savior, I'm winning. Satan is going to try to convince you that you are not able. He's going to try to convince you that the doctor's right. He's going to try to convince you that you're going to die and not live. But my Bible says that I know the plans that I have for you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Allow the Savior to meet your situation and already give God the victory because he's the master of multiplication. He's the best of taking nothing and making it into something. My Bible says that God will do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ask or think. Eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. Neither has entered into the hearts of man what God has in store for those who love him.